Good morning, church. How's everybody? You good? Is this on? Is it Mike? Are they out there? Okay, just making sure. Billy and Carlene are getting some much needed rest this weekend. Carlene has her family reunion at the park in Brady, Texas. And it's 1,000 degrees out there. So pray that they survive the heat. Glad you're here. Should we invite the Holy Spirit? Is that something we should do? I believe you're right. Let's do it. Father, you are good. Jesus, you are good. We invite your Spirit in this place. May you be high and lifted up in our praises. May our heart soar as we think about what you've done for us and how great your love is for us. Father, I just pray that whatever we may have drug in here today, just the stresses of life, the things that we deal with, Father, that you would release those, that you'd allow us to just worship and just to be in your presence, to sit in your lap. We praise your holy name. It's in that name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome again. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. Rise if you are able. Let's worship together.
Praise the Lord, I saw. in the sun or rain, my life celebrates. You are good. You are good. With a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim. You are good. You are good. In the sun.
Children, if you would meet Miss Teresa over by the doors.
Well, again, if you are guests this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of God in this place. People. What is it? What? How is that better? Maybe not. If you're our guest this morning, I apologize. But we love you anyway. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are our guest, can you hear me? Okay. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. I would love to get to know you. It'd be at this end of the foyer after the service and have a free gift for our guests. Got a few announcements for you. A lot of this is in your bulletin, but I'll highlight some things. Tuesday is our summer splash night. It will be at the Adventure Cove in Rose Park from 7:30 to 9:30. There's lots of room there. And that's, if you haven't been to that little swim park, it's really neat. Got big slides and the lazy river and all that. And great opportunity to invite friends to come and be a part of that with us. Our Wednesday night ministries resume on Wednesday night, the 19th of August, and then the Sunday groups on the 23rd. You can see that. There's also a handout about those different groups. We're adding some new groups. We've got all our existing groups, but we're also adding a prayer, revival, and spiritual awakening group led by Larry Young, and that's a Wednesday night group, and then two more Sunday night groups, On Purpose, led by Carol Burson, and The Bible in 90 Days, led by Marvin Diane Gregory, and there's more information in that handout. So, I'm not sure you can see this, but there's a very dull page in your handout about the construction of our building. Can anybody see this? I wanted to make sure we saw it. So I'm not going to read all this, but I'm going to try to keep, basically, here within the next week or two, we're going to start seeing some some dirt moving around. We're going to see fences going up and dirt moving around. We're going to, the main thing I want to highlight is we are going to lose during the construction process around 40 parking spaces. And that's going to be a challenge for us. So a couple of things. If you don't have any problem with mobility, I'm asking you to not look for the closest parking space you can find. Find the furthest parking space away from the front door. We're going to have access to the front door for several months, and this west end will be blocked off as they do the construction. And so be considerate of those who have some mobility issues, and also many families bring multiple vehicles every week. We bring two vehicles. I haven't told my wife this yet, but I'm going to start riding my bike to church. Yes. I had a doctor in the front, my doctor in the first service, and he got up and went, woohoo! No, he didn't do that. Anyway. So we just consolidate to one vehicle if possible. I know that's not always possible, but do your best to try to save spaces during this. It's an exciting time, but it's also some obstacles that we'll need to overcome, and you can kind of read more about that on that sheet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for all He's done for us. If you'll just spend just a moment telling the Lord how you feel about Him, and thank Him for how He feels about you. Father, you are, as we just sang about, you are good. But beyond good, you're also holy and righteous. You're our Lord and you're our Savior and you're our Prince of Peace. You're the God of all comfort. You're the Alpha, the Omega, and in the midst of all of that, you're our friend. We thank you for all the blessings you've poured out on us as your children, but also as a church. We thank you for this exciting time, Father, where we're growing, we're building. But Father, we want this new space to be a place that brings glory to your name. We want to love well. We want to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus and the promise we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for all things, God. I just pray, I'm thankful for this group of people you've assembled, and we call ourselves Wiley Methodist Church, but we're really your children. You give us work to do, to go and make disciples. So, Lord, may we be about your business. We love you. We thank you that you love us first and best. We pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to also thank you for your continued financial faithfulness. We have offering boxes at each of the doors. Also, you can give electronically. The instructions are on the screen there through our website or our app. Thank you again. May we continue to worship. Come all you weary, come.
the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting, God so loved the world. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. blood.
Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning in verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We trust that you are here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message, see it there on your bulletin, Nothing But the Blood. We just sang that great old hymn. You know, blood, I don't know about, maybe it was just me, but early on as I was kind of figuring all this Christianity thing out, I was confused. What blood? Why does Jesus have to shed his blood? And what is all that about? Blood is essential life. Blood is life. It's not death. Blood, it's the lack of blood, is death. I did a little research. Preached on this a year and a half or so ago. But I did a little research on blood. I'm not a doctor, but I know how to do Google. Anybody know how to do Google? It's our life source. It carries fuel and oxygen to the billions of cells in our bodies. But by the way, that just happened naturally with a big bang, and then we've got all these billions of cells. I'm kidding. Sarcasm. It supplies the brain and the heart with nourishment to function. It keeps us warm in the winter and cool in the summer. It fights infections. It gets rid of waste and on and on and on. DNA, I've said this so many times, but we think that we're really something because a few decades ago we started kind of discovering DNA and mapping the genome and all that stuff. And we think we're really something. You know, God's got to be just going, come on, guys. You're kidding me. Really? He's the one that created DNA. DNA is in the blood. It's located in the blood, and it carries the genetic instructions used in the growth and development and functioning and reproduction of all living organisms. It determines what color eyes we have, how tall we are, and on and on and on in our blood. DNA in our blood. Blood is also a prominent theme in God's Word. I'm going to hit this quickly before we get into the points I want us to look at today, but just some of the areas where blood is the theme in God's Word. Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, when sin came into the world, it says that they clothed themselves with animal skins. I'm pretty sure there weren't just like animal rugs laying on the ground. I'm pretty sure that they had to sacrifice an animal to get an animal skin to cover them, to cover the sin in their lives. Abel brought a sacrifice of fat portions of the firstborn of his flock, Genesis chapter 4. Now, Cain, it's interesting. If you'll read it very carefully, it says he brought some of his crop, some. Meaning like, maybe like even like the cull. Like, that doesn't look that great. I'll put that in God's pile. But whatever, God was not pleased. But Abel brought a sacrifice of fat portions of the firstborn of his flock. Again, blood. Covenant of circumcision, Genesis 17, we read about Abraham. Abraham is 99 years old. Now, how would you like to deliver this news to the crew? Now, he's 99 years old, and God says, I am establishing this covenant, and the sign of the covenant will be the sign of circumcision, again, blood, And he was 99 years old. Sir, oh, by the way, Abraham, you need to be circumcised, and all the men in Israel need to be circumcised. How would you like to come back and deliver that news? Genesis 17. Abraham then, later on in Genesis 22, he offered Isaac. But God said, I want you to take your son, this promised one, that God had promised the lineage that was going to produce, you know, more than the stars in the sky and this grains of sand on the beach, that son, I want you to sacrifice him. We know he goes up on the mountain and he has Isaac, and he lays Isaac on the altar. He raises the knife. He's ready to sacrifice him, and God stops him, and there's a ram tied up in or wound up in his horns in the bushes that ultimately became the sacrifice rather than Isaac. And then we see in Exodus chapter 12, the people in Israel, they're in bondage in Egypt, and the plagues come, and still Pharaoh is not convinced. And finally God says, death is going to come sweep through Egypt, and every firstborn male, including people and animals, will be killed. And then, but he tells Moses to have the people sacrifice their best, pure, one-year-old male lamb, take the lamb's blood, paint it on the doorpost of their home, and death will pass over. And here's, this is so, I love this. He says that the blood will be a sign. The blood will be a sign. Not the goodness of the people in the home, not even that they're God's chosen people. No, the blood will be a sign. When I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you. It's almost like this blood has an important role in who we are as followers of Christ. And then the high priest was chosen. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 24. They were chosen once a year for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where originally they'd go to the tabernacle, which was like a big tent where God resided in this tabernacle and ultimately in the temple in Jerusalem. And the high priest would be selected once a year to make atonement for the people. He would sacrifice a bull for his own cleansing, and then he would sacrifice a lamb for the people's sin, and he would enter in through the curtain into the Holy of Holies, and he would make a sacrifice with the blood on the Day of Atonement once a year. Okay? Then we skip forward to the New Testament. John the Baptist, he's baptizing the people, and he's baptizing them for a baptism of repentance. And then he sees Jesus walking along the seashore, and he tells his disciples, see there? That's the Lamb of God. That's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And something's shifting. Something is shifting. And then Jesus, you can read about this in Hebrews 9 that we just read, chapter 9, verse 12. Christ did not enter this Holy of Holies. He did not go through the curtain and enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of goats and calves. But he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood. You see, we no longer need a high priest because Jesus is our high priest. He's taken care of that atonement for everyone for all eternity through the blood of Christ. We don't need to select a high priest to go in and make atonement for us anymore. And it's this idea of that great hymn, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, first point I want us to really kind of dive into just a little bit. God's covenant was indeed established by blood. He tells Abraham, You're to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised. So this establishing the sign of the covenant was blood. Now, I'm going to skip forward just a little bit and explain something. When we do infant baptism, many people misunderstand that. They think that's a moment of salvation. No, in the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant was circumcision, blood. In the New Testament, Christ has shed his blood, and so there doesn't need to be any more shedding of blood because he took care of that. And the sign of the new covenant is baptism. Old Testament, circumcision. New Testament, baptism. So when we baptize an infant, what we are doing is we are just like they did in the Old Testament. They bring the eight-day-old male to receive the sign of the covenant, and the rest of their life, they were to obey the law. That was the charge to them. When we baptize an infant, as they grow up and become more aware of what's going on, how they remain faithful to the covenant is to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior by faith, by grace through faith. Does that make it? Shake your head if you're saying with me, if you're still with me. So the covenant, God's covenant, is established in blood. It's serious and it's costly. This blood that's shed represents that we belong to God. We have covenant with God. God is our God, and we are his people. Just as in the Old Testament, circumcision was a sign. That child had been brought under the covenant. In the New Testament, baptism, because Christ has already shed his blood, there doesn't need to be any more shedding of blood. The first covenant pointed beyond itself a greater covenant yet to come. I go to number two here. Forgiveness requires a blood substitute. I'm talking all about that. And so Isaac and Abraham are up on the mountain. They're heading on the mountain, and Isaac sees that the fire and the wood are here, Father, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb, prophetically pointing to Jesus. Sin is costly. God's word tells us that sin, the wages of sin, the punishment for sin is death. It must be dealt with. Sin is costly. Sin requires death. But God never asks us to do what only he can do. He's the only one that can pay that debt. Every Old Testament sacrifice pointed ahead to Christ. God himself will provide the lamb. And thirdly, sacrificial blood protects God's people. I love that story of the Exodus, this Passover meal. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses you're in. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the Passover lamb, the blood of the Passover lamb was painted on the doorpost. I want you to just picture you are that house. And the blood of the lamb is painted over you. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. He doesn't say, when I see someone worthy. He doesn't say that. When I see someone that has a lot of good works, he doesn't say that. When I see someone who's very religious, he doesn't say that. When I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you. It wasn't the goodness of the family inside that saved them. It was the blood of the sacrificial lamb. It's the same for us today, which leads me to my fourth point. The blood of Jesus perfected God's covenant once and for all. Jesus on the night it's the Passover. He's having the Passover meal with his disciples. That's been for centuries has been recognized and been celebrated on Passover. and Jesus flipped the script. You know, we've always remembered the blood of the Passover lamb, but now I'm the new Passover lamb. I'm the eternal Passover lamb. And he says, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus perfected God's covenant through his shed blood. Hebrews 10, therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. So what the writer of Hebrews is basically saying is, only in the Old Testament, only the high priest, one person, once a year, could enter through the curtain into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of the people. But now we should have confidence to enter that same most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. You see, when and I was confused early on in my life that the Gospels talk about when Jesus gave up his spirit that the curtain of the temple tore. What was that all about? What God was saying is, no longer will be there's be this separation, this curtain that's keeping you from entering the most holy of places. No, in my presence. But no, now through the blood of Christ, I'm tearing the curtain. You now, through the blood of Christ, you now have access to me. We don't need a high priest in this world, in this life, because we have a high priest. His name is Jesus. The Old Testament high priests, they entered repeatedly. Once a year, they offered animal blood as a sacrifice, and their sacrifices covered sin for the people temporarily. It was a temporary fix. And to do it again next year. Jesus entered the heavenly sanctuary once for all, is what Scripture tells us. Once for all. He's offered his own blood. We obtained eternal redemption, and he became the mediator of a new covenant, Jesus, an eternal, once for all people, for all eternity. Nothing can cleanse our sin, church, except the blood of Jesus. And we sing that great old hymn, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If I were writing a verse on that song today, I would say, "Can going to church wash away my sins? No, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can being a good person wash away my sins? No, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can being, but following all, having all the proper liturgical stuff that we do, can that wash away my sins? No. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We lead this morning into a time of the Lord's Supper. You know, it's, as I said, Jesus was, it was the Passover meal, and they had done things a certain way for centuries. And he flipped the script, and he's sitting around, and he knows that he will indeed be shedding his blood soon. He will have a broken body. And he says, he breaks the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he takes the cup and he blesses it and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many." And I would add, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we come to this meal, say a few things. If you do not have to be a member of our church to partake of this meal today. If you have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you repented of your sins, you're welcome to this table. This meal, I've said it before, but in my younger heathen days, when as a kid, you're always looking to see, you know, is this going to be a long service today or is this going to be a short service today? How windy is the preacher going to get? And I just remember on Communion Sundays when I was a kid, I was just like, the line at Luby's is going to be horrible. I'm going to miss the kickoff. But then, as I came to realize the costliness and the preciousness of this meal, changed everything. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we come to this table not as a perfect people, but as a holy and redeemed and forgiven people. So if you'll just bow your heads in your own heart, just confess your own sin before your loving Heavenly Father. Father, thank you for the shedding your blood and your broken body. May this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you saw us worthy to go to the cross. And I'm reminded that even in the garden, you shed your blood for us because of just the sheer emotion and the anxiousness that you had of what awaited you. You even then started to shed your blood for us. How precious it is. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If those who are serving would come forward. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. It's not my table, it's not our church's table, it's his table. If you repent of your sin, call upon him as Lord and Savior, repent of your sin. You are welcome to come. There'll be two stations here on this side and two stations on this side. You'll be given a piece of bread and dip the bread into the cup and partake in that way. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center. Go ahead and return to your seat to partake of those, and you can discard your empty as you leave. The altar is also open. Come.
Forgiven,
God would say to us. He said long ago, when I see the blood, death will pass over you. That's good news, church. That's something to be shared. Go and tell someone. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.